Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
On that note, it's my privilege to invite up our speaker tonight. The amazing Pastor Chrissy is going to share with us today. So why don't you give her a huge welcome?
How are you doing? 6 p.m. Who's coming to a revival prayer meeting tomorrow night? Yeah, take some names. Somebody, quickly. No, just kidding. I bring you greetings from my husband, Pastor Ken. He is in Cambodia with our church family up there in Phnom Penh. He is has spoken all day across their Vision Sunday services, and yesterday they did Connect Leaders Summit, and they're having an awesome time. Who knows that the global church is awakening? Amen. Yeah, there's really good things happening all over, and there's going to be really good things happening tonight. Faith from 7, 8, 9 people. There's going to be really good things happening tonight. God's in the room, you know. Do you have an expectation for the Lord to move in your life, in your heart tonight? So good to see so many new people and visitors. We do. I echo Pastor Rick. We really welcome you. And come on, let's pray before we listen to the Word of God tonight. Father, we just thank you that you're already here. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we can come to you, Father God, in relationship with you. Father, I thank you that you didn't leave us alone on the earth, but you've given us the Holy Spirit. I thank you, the Holy Spirit is here. And I pray that everybody would just shift aside every distraction, what might be weighing on their mind, what might be weighing on their heart. Father, and I just pray they'd give you the fullness of their attention, the best of their attention to go, you know what, I probably can't solve the problems of my life myself, but I need a word from God. I need to hear the heart of the Lord to my issue right now. And I pray, Holy Spirit, just speak. We ask you, we covet your voice. We covet your instruction and your leading in our life, Father God. So we just pray that you would speak and you would literally have your way in this building tonight. We give the rest of the service to you. And if you believe that, why don't you say amen? Amen. 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 So good. I don't know if you're like me. I don't know if across the course of your life you have ever caught yourself wondering or reflecting on the purposes of God. You know, just thinking about the purposes of God and how God might use you and where God might use you. Do I have other people that have had those sorts of thoughts in their life? I certainly have. I can remember even as far back as high school when I was a teenager, I remember very distinctly having this thought when I was in lower school. I had this thought, when I'm in upper school, I'm going to do something great for God. I'm going to see God do something awesome in my life because I'll be in upper school. You know, I'll be, you know, the oldest person in the school. I'll get my license. I just felt like upper school was where it's going to be at, and that is where I'll see God do something great. Then I got to upper school. It wasn't quite what I had imagined that it might be, you know. All of a sudden, the study is real, you know. The stress is real. The peer pressure is real. Back in my day, I did a little something called the TEE. Anyone know what the TEE is? You might know it as something called ATA. So that's that's what she's talking about. Yeah, okay, I'm old, right? I'm old. That's the point of that story, I'm old. But, you know, when I got to upper school, it wasn't quite what I'd expected it to be. And I didn't really step into that place of engaging with the purposes of God like I thought that I might. And upper school kind of, it was a bit of a write-off in the end. And I thought to myself, well, never mind. When I get to uni, I'm going to see God do something great with my life because uni will be amazing. And in uni, I'm going to have all this free time and I'm going to be an adult. And I'm going to adult so hard right now. Do I have any uni students saying amen? None of them. Adulting is hard. But you know what? Still hard. It was hard back in my day. It was hard back now. Yeah. When I got to uni, it wasn't quite what I expected it to be. I didn't really see the purposes of God get traction in my life in the way that I thought I might have because, you know, all of a sudden I had no money. also a classic uni student. I had no money and again, the temptations around my life and the uni tavern and all these things, you know, and just keeping it real. I feel like that was a knowing laugh. So I think, but you see a bit of a pattern emerging, right? You see a bit of a pattern emerging, a pattern that existed in my life. You know, when I'm married, we'll do something great for God. You know, when we move into our own place, we'll use that place for the glory of God. And so on and so forth. It kind of went this pattern in my life until one day I had an epiphany. It's like I woke up, it's like I am wasting my life. Like life is passing me by and I'm constantly longing for a season that I'm not currently in. And I don't think I'm the only one that's ever felt this way. I don't think I'm the only one because it seems to me that a lot of people are living their life thinking that the purposes of God are far off. The purposes of God exist in a place or a space where they're not, somewhere in the future. And they think, you know, when this has changed or that has changed or that resolves or such and such, I'm going to get serious about the purposes of God when I move into that space. I'll be well placed to serve Him in that space. And yet, if you're anything like me, when the moment arrives, when the new season arrives, it's never quite what it was cracked up to be in your head, right? As soon as one challenge sort of moves out of the way, ta-da, you got another challenge to contend with. You know, it's the way life goes. And the season that you've been waiting for, you know, the expectation doesn't match the reality and such and such. And I want to put it to you that I think part of the problem is that we create a divide. Sometimes I think we do it subconsciously, but we create a divide between what is spiritual and what is secular. And we kind of put this line in our life. This is the spiritual box. So in this box, I put my church attendance and I put my devotion life and I put the fact that I serve in the spiritual box. And probably in that place, you consider the Lord in that place. You pray to Him, you trust Him, you consult Him and those sorts of things. But hey, over here is the secular box. And maybe we're not so diligent to consult the Lord in this space. It's got like our uni in, it's got like our circle of friends in, it's got like our business, our career, and our holidaying, and our socializing, and all those things. And we kind of dump that in a secular box because those things, well, why would God be interested in them? And why would He want to do anything with them? And I don't really think God's in that place. I don't think He's there. But the result of that type of thinking is that we actually don't feel very often very spiritual. We don't really feel like people who are really engaged with the purposes of God, people who are really moving forward in what God wants for us. And I just want to suggest that Jesus Himself is not interested in the boxes. Jesus Himself does actually not regard the compartments that we create. He's not interested in what you think He can and cannot use. Jesus can use anything. You know, it says and in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, He says, you have one master and one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who rules over all and He works through all and He is present in all. He's in all. He's in all. All is a pretty inclusive word, yeah? You know, there's not much left out of all. All means all. Every single part of your life and your being and your moments, God wants to work in it all of it. And if it wasn't so, I don't believe that Solomon would have penned in the Proverbs in chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, something that we probably know pretty well that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Don't think about your own boxes, yeah? Yeah, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. This proverb, it's not just a directive, It's actually an invitation. It's actually an invitation. Bring God into every moment. Bring him into every situation. Bring him into every circumstance, because that language is not compartmentalized language. There's no divide that exists there. Just this invitation to bring him in. Bring Jesus in. And that's the message of my sermon, the title of my sermon tonight. Is simply bring Jesus in. Every moment, every season, Jesus wants in. I'm going to put it to you tonight that the purposes of God for your life do not exist somewhere far off. They don't exist somewhere where all your boxes are ticked and all your ducks are in a row and you feel more spiritual suddenly. I want to say to you and hear this, the purposes of God for your life are right now. They start now, right now. Jesus wants to do something in you and through you right now, wherever you're at. The Jesus of the Bible is not religious. He doesn't fit the boxes that we create. He doesn't regard the divide that we've drawn out for him. You know, when you read the Gospels and you learn about Jesus, he constantly shattered expectations of where he could and couldn't work or what he could and couldn't do. He just blew those things apart, and they came along and they accused him and they tested him and they did all these things. They were like, Jesus, you shouldn't be doing that on the Sabbath. You know, Jesus, she's a Samaritan woman. Why are you actually talking to her? You know, Jesus, don't go there. Jesus, don't do that, and all these sort of things. But Jesus paid no mind to their accusations. He actually didn't worry about what they were saying. And you got to ask yourself, if Jesus didn't subject himself to limitations about where he could and couldn't work, why do we try and limit him to where he can and cannot work? Like, why do we do that? And so if you would just like lose the mindset of one day in the future, if you would just shake off that divide between spiritual and secular, if you would bring Jesus in and give him access to every single part of your life, you're quickly going to realize that Jesus can work in any situation. Jesus can work in any season, even in chaos, even in madness, even in crazy, even in waiting. Jesus can work in waiting. I feel like that's for someone in the room tonight. Jesus can work in the pain. He can work in the failure. He can work in the boring. I'm bored. Even if you're over it, Jesus can still be found in it. He's part of the process. And he's part of the finished product, because the scripture says he's over all and he works in all. So the only question really is, will we bring Jesus in? Will we grant him this access? Because when we do, everything changes. When we bring Jesus in, everything changes. Things, good things start to happen when we bring Jesus in. And one of those things, when you bring Jesus in, he actually brings fresh purpose. Fresh, who wants a fresh purpose in their life? He brings a fresh purpose. All of us know what it is to go through the grind of life, right? You know, whether you're a student in this place, or you're employed, or you're unemployed, or you're a homemaker, or a career person, or everybody knows what it's like to just go through the grind of life. You get up, you feed the dog, you feed the cat, you kiss your mom, you kiss your dad, you know, you go to work, you please the boss, you catch the bus, you know, the grind, right? The grind. You know, it's going to be same, same, but different for everybody in the room, but everybody has it. Everybody just has what is a grind of life. And in those places, we can often feel like there's not much point. There's not much purpose to what we're doing. And There was a guy called Peter in the Bible, and he actually had a daily grind. His daily grind was a fishing boat. He was a fisherman. That's what he did with his life. And you read this account in Luke chapter 5, where even though the fishing boat was just a daily grind, there was this one day where he brought Jesus in and everything shifted and everything changed. And we're going to read about it in Luke chapter 5, and it says this. It says, on one occasion, Jesus was preaching to the crowds on the shore of Lake Galilee, and there was a big multitude of people pushing to get close to Jesus and hearing the word of God. He noticed two fishing boats at the water's edge with the fishermen nearby rinsing their nets. So Jesus climbed into the boat belonging to Simon Peter, and he asked him, this is important, let me use your boat. Let me use your boat. Push it off a short distance away from the shore so I can speak to the crowds. And then Jesus sat down in the boat and taught people from the boat. So there's a crowd of people on the shore, but Jesus has gone up into a boat, and now he's using the boat like I'm using this stage right now to speak to the people who had gathered. You got to realize that this boat is the object of Peter's employment. This boat represents the daily grind for him. Every day, what a row, row, row your boat. That was an inspiration. He would have rowed his boat. He would have caught the fish and cleaned the fish and cleaned the boat and cleaned the nets. That would have been his daily grind. But when he brought Jesus in this one day, suddenly all that shifted. See, the boat was just a means to an end. It was just the way for him to yield income. But now on this particular day, with Jesus in the boat, now it's a platform for the will and the purpose of God. Now it's a platform, a pulpit for the word of God and the will of God. And the gospel's being shared right from in the middle of his daily grind. And suddenly people are being reached and people are being touched and impacted. Peter's boat got fresh purpose. The mundane of his life got brand new meaning because he brought Jesus in. And I love this language that Jesus uses with Peter. He says, let me use your boat. Let me use it. In other words, let me use your daily grind. Let me use your 9 to 5. And I feel like Jesus wants to have that same conversation with you and with me. Would you let me use your boat? Like, what is your boat? What might Jesus be saying to you? Let me use your university. Let me use your tut room. Let me use your circle of friends. Let me use your after-school job. Let me use whatever place, whatever space. You just fill in the blank for what Jesus might be saying to you. Let me use your boat. So powerful. You know, what areas of your life could you be looking at and going, that's just secular, that's just mundane, that just has no purpose about it, and you've never brought Jesus in, but he's looking at it going, I can bring fresh purpose to that. I can make that exciting. I can actually bring an adventure to that. I can platform off of that so that you feel like even in your mundane, you're engaged in the purposes of God. Would you bring me in? So he brings to us fresh purpose, but when we bring Jesus in, he also brings significance. It's in the heart of every human to have significance, right? But many people don't feel very significant. Many people actually go through life feeling small, feeling not that important, feeling like what they do isn't worth that much. And society would tell you that the way you become significant is actually to be prominent. You have to have a lot of money, you have to have a big following, you have to have prominence, and that's what equals significance. And so many people are chasing after prominence because they want significance, right? But Jesus doesn't measure that way. That might be the way of society, but it's not the way of his kingdom. He measures entirely differently. And when you bring Jesus in, he comes with him with incredible significance and no regard for prominence. He will place worth on you. He will place value on you. And it actually doesn't matter what you do or who you are or how many people know your name or how many followers you've got on social media. None of those things actually matter. When you bring Jesus in, he gives you significance. Significance. It says in Mark chapter 9, verse 41, a verse that I feel illustrates this idea of significance. And he says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward." Imagine that. Imagine like the most menial, nothing task. A cup of water, but in my name. In other words, you brought Jesus in to that situation to bring him in, to bring glory to him. And in that instance, he goes, "That is significant. And I'm going to remember that. And I'm going to regard that. And I'm going to reward that. And I'm going to call it significant." And that might apply to anything you do in your life that is so menial, that is so seemingly insignificant. Do you look after toddlers? Do you look after babies? Do you minister to old people? Do you go places? Because anything can actually attain significance when we do it unto the name of the Lord, and we just would bring Jesus in. Psalm 84 says this. It says, the psalmist cries out, "Better is one day in your courts." He's talking to God. "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days spent elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." You gotta understand, in an Old Testament context, when they speak about the courts of God or the house of God, they're talking about the presence of God. They're talking about the dwelling place of God. And so this psalmist is in essence saying, "God, I just want to be where you are. And I don't care what I'm doing. I don't care where I'm found. I just want to be found in your presence." I see, what an incredible attitude. And as I pondered on this psalm, it struck me, when we carry that sort of attitude into our life, into every area of our life, when we value his presence above anything else, above prominence, that it's all about Jesus, he adds significance to us right where we're at, regardless. And you think about it, a doorkeeper is a pretty duffer job. You know, you wouldn't really want to do that for 40 years. It's pretty boring. But a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord takes on an entirely different meaning. A doorkeeper in the house of the Lord is suddenly the person tasked with opening the door for the very presence of God to enter into situations. Suddenly, this mundane duffer of a job takes on brand new significance as we become the entry point for Jesus. I was thinking, maybe, just maybe, if there was a people that were passionate about his presence, that were passionate about bringing Jesus in, maybe we get to become the doorkeepers in our world, where we come into a room, we actually open a door for Jesus to come in that very same room and shift the atmosphere and break the yoke and all these sorts of things if we would just bring Jesus in. My final thought tonight is that we bring Jesus in and he brings healing and restoration. He brings healing and restoration. When we bring Jesus in, it makes way for the supernatural power of God to come into our situation. It makes way for a miracle when we bring Jesus in. There's an account in Luke chapter 4 that involves Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And it says this in Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 41. It said, "Now he arose from the synagogue," this is Jesus, "and he entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him," Jesus, "concerning her. So he stood over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her." And listen to this. "Immediately she arose, and then she served them." It's just a quick little verse, just a couple of verses. If you're reading in a hurry, you might just skip over it. But I feel like it's teaching us something really powerful, because here we have a woman that was out of purpose because she was carrying this illness. She was sick. She needed a healing. And Jesus came into her room. Jesus got brought in, and he touched her body and he healed her. But he didn't just heal her. He caused who was lying down to actually get up. And once she got up, she was actually restored to a place of service. Now she could minister both to Jesus and to the people around her. Jesus didn't just heal her, though that would have been awesome on its own, but he restored her to a place of purpose, to a place of service where she was supposed to be. And I feel like she is a prophetic picture of so many people in the body of Christ today. There's so many people who are taken out of purpose. They're not doing what the Lord has called them to do because they need healing. Maybe they need healing in their physical body, because we believe that God can work those miracles. Even more than that, I think people, a lot of people, need heart healing. They need Jesus to heal their heart. The wounds of life have so hit them that it's taken them out. It's just cut them off at the knees, knock the wind out of their sails. I don't know, a failure, a divorce, a bankruptcy, a serious setback, some sort of tragedy or offense that's come into their life, whatever. But because of that thing, they're struggling to step into the purposes of God. Because of that thing, can I suggest, if that's you in this place tonight, if you've got something like that going on in your life, can I say with all humility, just bring Jesus in. Bring Jesus in. He can heal you and he can restore you. He can restore you so that you can walk in the purpose that he has defined and designed for your life. There is nothing he can't heal. I want to say that again. There is nothing he can't heal. He can bring just peace and comfort and a resolution to the way you're feeling in your heart of hearts. Nothing is too difficult for him. The scripture will tell us that he is a master of taking all things and working them together for good. We sing that song, what the enemy meant for evil, God can use it for good, right? He can use it for good. Let him in. Bring him into those spaces and let him heal you and restore you. You know, in my own life, there's been an area where, if I'm honest, I have struggled over different times and different years to really bring Jesus in. You know, it's been an area that's caused me personally a lot of grief, a lot of heartache. There's been a lot of times of questioning God, you know, the why God question. I've done that a lot. And that area in my life is the fact that I'm a mum of a son with a disability. If you don't know me, if you don't know my story, I have a 13-year-old boy called Isaiah. And Isaiah has a rare genetic syndrome, and it impacts him in a lot of ways. One of the ways, he's nearly nonverbal. He's 13 years old, he can hardly talk, and it affects him in lots of different ways, but he also has an intellectual age of about a five-year-old. He goes to a special education school and all, and he is beautiful and delightful, and we totally adore him and wouldn't have life without him, but his needs are a pretty big deal, right? His needs in our life make a big impact on our life. And in the early years of life with Isaiah, I did actually bring Jesus in, but I had a very preconceived idea of how that needed to look. I kind of told God, okay, it needs to look like this. You know, you need to fix it, you need to heal it, you need to make it all go away, you need to wake me up from this bad dream, you know, that sort of thing. I was telling God my terms. You can come in, but you come in on my terms. This is what you need to do. And don't get me wrong, God has been amazing. God has been faithful. We have seen him do incredible things and work miracles along the way. But right now, to date, the fullness of the miracle that we're hoping and praying for has not come. We're still in the waiting today. And so there's this daily grind for us that looks like dressing our boy and helping him with the toilet and showering our boy and all these sorts of things. And as the years have rolled on, with my son. You know, he's 13, so 13 years is a lot of processing time, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of time to get your head around a situation and to wrestle with the things of God and to find him in situations. But as the years have rolled on, I have learned by his grace to bring Jesus in without reservation and without, you know, without condition, to just bring him in unconditionally and get rid of all my preconceived ideas about what he had to do and when he had to do it. I was no longer on my own terms, but just fully surrendered to my Savior's terms. By the grace of God, I've learned to trust him with all of my heart. Like, I trust you, Lord, with every fiber of my being. This has become my conviction. But I have found that as I've done that, Jesus has worked right in the middle of my situation. I called it a limitation, but he's worked in the middle of the situation. He didn't remove me from the situation, but he just came in countless ways at countless times and did incredible things that even brought peace to my heart, to know that God was still working even in this hard and painful thing in my life. And everything I've preached to you tonight, that there's healing, that there's restoration, that there's significance, that there's purpose, I've experienced it all as I've brought Jesus in. Some time back, I was like Peter's mother-in-law. I felt like I was lying down, not standing up in purpose because of my broken heart. I was brokenhearted over the situation with my boy, but God has actually come in and he's healed my grief. He has healed my broken heart. He has helped me to get up. He's helped me to stand up. He's restored me back to the purposes that he intended for me. And he's given me a rock solid conviction that the end of this journey is wholeness. The end of this, whether it's this side of eternity or the other side of the eternity, when you bring Jesus in, you get to understand the end of the story is victory. Amen. That's same for your life, the end of your story, if you would bring Jesus in. It's victory. It's victory. It's victory in his name. And as we've brought Jesus in, he's added unbelievable significance and purpose to the story. To date, I'm not just a mom of a son with a disability. I've become a minister in a disability community. You know, God has, yes, you can praise him. God's so good. I have some credibility with families, with population, that unless you've gone through something like what I've gone through, you probably couldn't have the same credibility. And the Heroes Academy ministry has been birthed where we minister to families who have children with additional needs. That is going from strength to strength. And I believe it's a direct result of the fact that the Lord in his sovereignty has allowed us to walk this journey. All we had to do was step into it and bring Jesus in. You can use my boat. You can work here, Jesus. You can work here, Jesus. The singers and musicians, you can come back and join me. How good is God? You know, that is my story, but I know you've got your own story. I know you've got your own same but different sort of situations and struggles and trials and daily grind and insignificant and all these things. You've got them going on in your life. I know it. We all do. And my big question to us tonight, my big challenge to us tonight is, have you brought Jesus in? Have you brought Jesus into those spaces in your life? Have you really surrendered them over to him? Ken preached on Vision Sunday, as we saw on the recap. He preached an incredible word, a prophetic word that we're going to awaken this year. We're awakening in 2020. We're awakening to prayer. We're awakening to the mandate. We're awakening to discipleship. But I also want to say we need to awaken to the purpose of God. We need to awaken to what God wants to do. And I want to put it to you today, it's not far off. It starts right here and right now. It's not waiting for you in a distant season of your life. Just open up to your life as it is. All the mess, all the crazy, all the challenge, all the hardship, bring Jesus in, because he wants to do something through you right now. Right now. And I believe as individually, as we all do that, that corporately we are going to see this church go to another level. We truly will. As we all step into purpose, move into what God has in store for us, we're going to see the lost found. We're going to see disciples made. We're going to see nations reached. And you know who's going to do it? It's all of you guys, and me included. And it's going to be incredible as we walk together in the purposes of God. Amen. You can stand to your feet all over this place. Oh, your presence is here, God, and we love you. We love you. Come on, just where you're standing, start responding to him in your heart. You can close your eyes. You can raise your hands. He's good. He's here. He loves you. He's for you. He believes in you. He's good to you. He's more interested in who you're becoming than what you're doing. He's really not that fussed, I don't think, about what we do. He's very interested in who we become. He builds the who, then he releases us to do. Right now, just in this beautiful atmosphere, I just want to address you if you're here in the room and perhaps you don't know Jesus. I preached a message called Bring Jesus In. Maybe you've never done that for your life, any part of your life. No boxes, it's just all without Jesus. But you know what? You can. You can bring Jesus in. You can give him your life. The Bible's really clear that people like you and me can have a relationship with God. A lot of people see the church and they go, oh, that's just religious. I got no time for religion. I tell you, I'll let you in a secret. I've got no time for religion either. I don't want a bar of it. But what I'm really passionate about is to have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not a religious icon. He's a friend. Oh my gosh, he's a friend. The Proverbs say that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. How about that? How about that? How about that? That's who he is. He's not impersonal. He's the most intimate, most real thing that you can experience, relationship you can experience. He's the one you can have confidence in that will never, ever let you down. How about that? Because he's God Almighty. He's God Almighty. He's been the same all these generations, all these millennia. He's been the same. He's been good. He's been loving. He's been kind. And he's still that to you today. And the Bible tells us God so loved the world. He's not angry. He so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Why did he give Jesus? He gave Jesus his perfect son who died on a cross, a horrible death that was rightfully ours because we're the ones that have stuffed up. We're the ones that fall short. He never did, but he took all of our sin. He took all of our issues on his own self on that cross. He died. He rose again. And in doing that, he made a way for you and me to have a relationship with God, to have a brand new relationship and a friendship with God. And the way we enter into that, the way we bring Jesus in, is by faith. What do I mean by faith? I mean by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and rose again, and then inviting him into your life. Pray a prayer of faith. Go, God, I give you my life. Come into my life. Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my life. And by faith, he does that. By faith, he moves in to that open and vulnerable space that you give him. He moves into that. And he sets your life on purpose, and he shows you his love. And all over this room right now, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes, because there could be some people here that actually want to do that tonight, that actually want to start a relationship with God, that actually want to bring Jesus in for the very first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time. we're just going to respect everybody in the room right now by just closing our eyes. And if you're a Christian here, you can just pray with me because it's an important moment for people. But if you're here and you've done the courtesy of listening to me and you're here and you're saying, Chrissy, I do believe in God. I feel an energy in this room. I feel a presence in this room that I've never experienced or encountered before. And I do believe in that Jesus was the Son of God, and I do believe that He died and rose again, and I do actually want Him to come into my life and take hold of my life. If that's you right now, with no eyes looking around, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. What's going to happen if you raise your hand tonight? Yeah, I see that hand down the back. That's incredible. Right down the back. Yeah, I see both of your hands. That's unreal. I've got you, girls. I've got you. I see you. What's going to happen if you raise your hands tonight? We're just going to pray. That's all that's going to happen. I won't single you out. I won't embarrass you. But the whole church will pray together. But if you raise your hand tonight and if you pray this prayer from your heart by faith, we believe that you can walk out assured that you have a friendship with God. You have a friendship with God and He loves you. So right now, I've seen those two hands down the back, but is there anybody else that's going to join these two people that have raised their hands tonight? Don't leave this place without making your peace with God. All over this place, Christians, so many people in the room have done this already, and they are rooting for you right now because they know how much of a difference it made in their life, like night to day. It's like the lights turn on. It's like something makes sense for the first time. Come on, all over this place. Is there anybody else that would join these two people? Don't resist His love. He's too good. Yeah, we see that hand. That's incredible. I see that hand. That's incredible. That's incredible. I've seen four hands so far. I feel like there's more. I feel like there's more here tonight. You got to make your peace with God. You don't know what life's going to throw at you. Jesus doesn't just rescue us from a hell after we die. He rescues us from hell on earth. Oh my gosh. Anybody else? I've seen four hands. So proud of those people that raise your hand. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. This is how it works. I say a line and you say a line after me. The whole church prays together. But for those four people, this is your moment. This is your moment of assurance. This is your moment where you make your peace with Almighty God. Come on, church, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe that He died and He rose again to take away all my sin, to give me a new start, a fresh purpose. And Jesus, I ask you, come into my life, forgive my sin, wash me clean, give me a new start. I want to live with you. I want to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Yeah, praise Him. All over this place, all over this room, praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Those four people, we're just thrilled for you. That's just the best decision you could make. And our leaders, they've seen you. And they're going to come and they're going to talk to you. They're going to give you a Bible. They're going to love on you. They're going to just introduce themselves. And we can't wait to get to know you a little bit better. And right now, come on, we've still got a few moments left because you can't have a message like that and not enter into some sort of personal response. Do not enter into some sort of personal response to say, Lord, I want you to awaken me to purpose. There's a couple of groups of people that we're going to open the altar for, and we're just going to minister to. And the first group of people I have in mind is you have just been stuck in the daily grind. You've been stuck in a pattern of life that just feels so insignificant. It just feels so lacking in purpose, round and round the mulberry bush, and you're just a bit over it. But tonight, even as I've been preaching, it's like the lights have come on. It's like a new prayer has started to bubble up out of your heart that says, God, awaken me to purpose. If you're in this building tonight and your heart says, God, you can use my bone, Lord, you can use my life, you can use any part of my life, every area of my life, and God, I want to be a doorkeeper into my world. God, I want to be a point person. When I come in, I bring you in, and your presence comes into my life and situation. God, would you awaken me to purpose? If that's your heart's cry tonight, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat and come and worship at the front. We're going to believe that tonight, and even in 2020, your life is going to awaken to purpose like never before. And there's a second group of people that we're going to pray for tonight, and that's the people that you know you need healing. You know that the purposes of God have been cut out from underneath you because of that thing that happened, that hurt, that trauma, that disappointment. But tonight's the night. And I believe as you say, Jesus, come in, bring Jesus into that situation, not only will he heal your life, but he also will restore your life and bring new purpose to your life. So as the band begins to lead us, if that's you, if you fit into either of those categories, don't wait for anybody else. Just run to the front.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.